Support for this podcast comes from the Central Valley Journalism Collaborative, connecting communities with the resources, infrastructure, and networks to ensure a vibrant local free press.
From KVPR in Fresno, this is Central Valley Daily. It's Wednesday, November 5th. I'm Elizabeth Arkalian. Californians weighed in on Proposition 50 yesterday, and KVPR caught up with voters at the polls.
I think we're in a crisis.
We are in the extremes at both ends.
It's topsy-turvy. We're all upside down right now.
Coming up, we break down the Prop 50 results with KVPR's news director. But first, these news headlines. California voters cast their ballots on Tuesday for the redistricting measure known as Proposition 50. The measure passed by double digits. KVPR's Carrie Klein got mixed opinions from voters in Fresno County.
Among a steady trickle of voters at Buchanan High School in Clovis is Catherine DeShane. The Republican lives in Fryant and is concerned about rural residents being disenfranchised.
I voted no for Prop 50 to make sure that our voices not get diluted and that the voice of the people is heard and not manipulated.
Vanessa Darrell of Fresno is a Democrat. She says she voted yes.
I strongly believe that if one state is gerrymandering, then another state, such as ours, should try to balance that out.
Martin Saldana voted at the Clovis Transit Center downtown. He also voted yes, but for a completely different reason.
I'm a conservative Republican. I don't subscribe to MAGA. I don't believe that it's the right side of history.
Even before the election ended, President Trump threatened a legal review of the process. For KVPR News, I'm Carrie Klein in Clovis.
California U.S. Senator Alex Padilla will not run for governor next year in the race to succeed Gavin Newsom. Padilla made the announcement in Washington, D.C. on Tuesday.
I choose not just to stay in the Senate, I choose to stay in this fight because the Constitution is worth fighting for. Our fundamental rights are worth fighting for.
Governor Newsom appointed then-state Senator Padilla to succeed Kamala Harris after she stepped down in 2020 to become Joe Biden's running mate. Despite never officially declaring himself a candidate, a poll last month from CBS News/YouGov showed Padilla as the top considered name for the 2026 California governor's race among registered voters. Court documents reveal more allegations against CSU Bakersfield coach Kevin Mays. The assistant basketball coach was arrested in September for allegedly pimping and pandering, as well as possession of child pornography. According to TV station KERO, documents reveal he may have also used university funds to rent cars and hotel rooms involved in these actions. Mays pleaded not guilty to the crimes. Last month, CSU Bakersfield formed a committee to overhaul its athletics department. Fresno County has once again clocked in as the top-producing agricultural county in the U.S. According to its latest crop report, the 2024 ag production value topped $9 billion for the first time. That marks a 6% increase over last year. Top commodities include almonds, grapes, pistachios, beef, and milk. Other top-producing valley counties include Tulare and Kern, both of which pulled in about $8 billion. At least three editors of the Fresno Bee were laid off this week. That's according to the newspaper's opinion editor, Tad Weber. Social media reports suggest the McClatchy Company, which owns the Bee, also shut down its bureau in Washington, D.C., and may have laid off others at the Merced Sun-Star.
KVPR's annual reception for Kern County listeners and supporters is this month. Join us Tuesday, November 18th at the historic Nile Theater in Bakersfield. Hear what KVPR has planned for the future as we mingle over drinks and appetizers. RSVPs are required. Go to kvpr.org/events to reserve your spot.
And now to our main story. Voters across the Central Valley and California have made their voices heard. As of this recording, over 60% of Californians voted yes on Proposition 50. The measure will allow California to temporarily redraw its U.S. congressional districts, with maps favoring Democratic Party candidates. This initiative originated in response to similar actions in Texas at the request of President Trump. The new Texas maps favor Republican candidates. But now it remains to be seen if Prop 50's success translates into success for Democrats in the upcoming midterm and presidential elections. So to break down what this all means, I am joined in the studio with our news director, Crescencio Rodriguez-Delgado. Hey, Cres.
Hello.
Okay, so full disclosure, we're recording this on election night. It's about 10 p.m., and the Associated Press has called the Proposition 50 race, as I mentioned. It has passed. So to start, Cress, are these results surprising, and what happens now?
Well, I don't think the result is very surprising, honestly. I think that there was a lot of anticipation that this proposition would pass. After all, this is California. But you're right. Polls closed right at 8 p.m. and the Associated Press called a race in favor of Prop 50 exactly at 8 p.m. We were sitting here in the newsroom waiting for that result.
Yeah.
The result was just so obvious, I think, for many people. This reminds me of the 2021 gubernatorial recall race. Republicans wanted to recall Gavin Newsom, but they failed massively in the same way, and the race was called immediately as polls closed. So it's a very similar situation to that election. Now, as far as what this means, so Proposition 50 passing means that California will change the congressional boundaries for House districts. Those are new boundaries that will apply immediately next year, as you said, in the 2026 midterms. And they will also be in place for the 2028 presidential election. But the key thing here is that after 2030, all of this will be reversed because the language on the ballot was that this is only a temporary measure. California has an independent redistricting commission that actually draws the boundaries. And the governor said that this changes only to counter Republicans in the next two elections.
So now, looking at the next couple of years, what are the implications of this redistricting? We know it's short term, but I understand there's a Valley district that could see a major change.
That's right. So basically, all of the district boundaries will shift in some way. Legally, they all have to represent virtually the same number of people. Some seats really won't see much of a difference as far as political makeup, especially since 43 of California's House seats are already held by Democrats. But redistricting is aiming to increase that number to 48. And so this means that five GOP House seats are vulnerable now that Prop 50 has passed. And that brings us here to the Valley, where we have one of those districts, as you said, House District 22. So that seat is currently held by Republican David Valadao. Redistricting puts him and four other GOP members of the House in a very vulnerable position where they essentially, by next November, they could be out of Congress if everything works in the Democrats' favor. On the other hand, some Democrats who are in vulnerable seats right now will see their seats get a little bit more safe in this whole process.
I want to stay on this topic of House District 22 for a bit, because this has been such a contentious district. It's a swing district before all this Prop 50 business came on to the stage. And on paper, it's a district that favors Democrats, but a Republican has represented it for years. So give us some insight into the dynamics there and how they could change going forward.
Right. So the district was redrawn to make it favor the Democrats even more. The district's footprint will grow a little to the north to capture more Democratic voters in places like Fresno County. So the midterm election happening next year will now be a very different one. Right now, there are pretty much two serious Democrats running to challenge Valadao. That's Assemblymember Jasmine Baines and a school board trustee, Randy Villegas. Under the new district map, they are going to have brand new voters, essentially, in their effort to kick Valadao out of office. But as you mentioned, there is always sort of this nuance on the ground. And so I want to kind of speak to that a little bit. People do actually seem to like David Valadao, because he seems to be very close to the ground and very knowledgeable of the issues here in the Valley, like water and agriculture. We know those are two very important things to his constituents. Democrats have just not been able to cut through and bring a message that resonates with those voters. And farmers specifically feel that they want to keep someone in office who understands their industry, and they say that Valadao is that person. So the million-dollar question now is, will Prop 50 do what it's intended to do? And we will have to essentially wait one more year to really know the answer to that question.
You know, we also heard from voters who say they're concerned about all of this gerrymandering. There are those who are excited their party's gaining power, but quite a few voters did say they're concerned about what all of this is doing for the democratic process. I know KVPR reporters were out in the field talking to voters, so let's hear some of their thoughts real quick, and I'd like you to tell us some more.
I think we're in a crisis.
We are in the extremes at both ends.
It's topsy-turvy. We're all upside down right now.
Yeah, I mean, as you can hear from these voters and their voices, we are in uncharted territory. They do sound concerned. As journalists, I think even we are here scratching our heads trying to make sense of all that is happening right now. And as I mentioned earlier, this all feels very upside down because it seems like all the rules are just kind of being changed. And the question is when or really how does this end?
Yeah.
But I think that this sentiment from voters is very important to really listen to because they seem to be sounding an alarm. And it speaks to a larger fact that they are paying attention to what's going on in politics, whether good or bad. And right now, there's no telling how much they can really take if things feel like they're getting worse politically. We certainly know that voters vote with their pocketbooks, but also very much with their feelings.
Yeah, I'm sure this will be a topic that will only grow as we go. I wanted to ask you briefly, Chris, about opposition to Prop 50. Tell us more about the opposition and if it really mattered in the end, given, as you said earlier, that this is blue California after all.
Yeah, there was a push against Prop 50 at the beginning, but it really fizzled out fast. And in the Valley, we heard a lot specifically from Republican Assemblymember David Tangipa, who represents the Fresno area. He was making the rounds trying to get voters to stop Prop 50. Here he is actually just minutes after the results came in. He was speaking in Sacramento at the state GOP headquarters.
And these election results just proved that they campaigned on a whole lot of lies and drove emotionally charged arguments to get people to vote against their best interests.
So Republicans called Prop 50 a Newsom power grab, but the GOP has been doing the same thing as we've mentioned in other states. So really, both sides are playing this game right now. And in the days leading up to Election Day, opponents of Prop 50 just stopped spending money on advertising, and the opposition seemed to just disappear. I also want to say that the Central Valley is basically Trump country when you look at it on a broad political map. So we're bound to see opposition here to these sorts of measures. But, this time around, it just didn't meet the moment that perhaps President Trump or the GOP wanted to see.
KVPR News Director Crescencio Rodriguez Delgado, thank you so much for breaking this down for us.
Of course.
And for tomorrow's episode, we'll have more analysis of these Proposition 50 results. We'll be speaking with Maddie Institute Executive Director Blake Santee and take a closer look at how counties here in the Valley voted on the issue. And that is today's show. Today's episode was produced by Jonathan Linden and KVPR with support from the Central Valley Journalism Collaborative. I'm Elizabeth Arkalian. Find the latest local news anytime at kvpr.org.
Sources and methods, the crown jewels of the intelligence community. Shorthand for how do we know what's real? Who told us? If you have those answers, you're on the inside, and NPR wants to bring you there. From the Pentagon to the State Department to spy agencies, listen to understand what's really happening and what it means for you. Sources and Methods, the new national security podcast from NPR.